This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. So we're going to be chatting with Fred Heumann today, sports director over at WLNS-TV. Talk a little baseball with Fred. Fred likes to talk a lot of baseball, so let's not be coy about it. You talk about somebody who really knows baseball, Fred's the guy to talk to. So we'll talk some with Fred Heumann today right here on AM 870 WKAR. So let's bring in Fred Heumann. Hey, Fred, how you doing? Yep, I guess you're going to have to call him back. Okay, so we screwed up on that, so we'll get Fred back on with us shortly, talk a little baseball. So that's his sport, but that's a lot of people's sport. A lot of people are looking forward to baseball season. So that's the good part, because we talk a lot of sports during the winter and the off season, and of course, like most of us, we like sports during the summer when it's really hot. But now, it's just something that, it's just something how well sports is received in the spring, and then as it gets cold off. I mean, it starts out it's cold, and then it gets colder later on. Well, we got Fred back, so let's bring Fred on. Hey, Fred, how you doing, buddy?
I was there, or all my lips were frozen.
Well, I might have been frozen too, because as you know, I told you I'll be done in a couple of weeks. I'm retiring in a couple of weeks, so I'm glad you could be on with me and talk a little baseball today. Baseball.
I'm sure, Earl. I'm sorry that we're going to see an era end, but going back to you and Jim Adams, God rest his soul, we just lost. This is how many years are we talking about between you two?
39 years.
39? You're not even 39 yet, are you?
I wish. I wasn't 39.
I wish you well, and I salute you for your years of service to the community and your station in this area, and I'm sure we'll see you around, because there's not a basketball practice you don't like to watch.
No, I don't mind missing many basketball practices. I go from time to time, and I know you don't miss too many baseball practices. Yeah, as you know,
as many as I can.
You know, I love the Diamond Classic, so that'll probably be one of the last events I attend to. But I love I don't know why I've always loved the Diamond Classic, because I guess I just love kids playing, and they play the game. They play the game the right way. They just play it for having fun, and sometimes they might get caught a little something for it or something, but it's really just a good game and a good time to watch
baseball.
Yeah,
I like that Diamond Classic. I actually prefer it at Old Municipal than I do at the Lugnut Stadium, but I know kids and parents and coaches.
I know
that I'm your guest, Earl, but I'm sure you'll cover this in the next 2 weeks or in your last couple days, but off the top of your head, what's the biggest sporting event you've been involved in here in 30 in your years here?
Probably the most... And the one you would probably could figure this one out to yourself. It's got to be the most frustrating sporting event of all time, and that was the
most
Lions
frustrating.
Going most frustrating. The Lions going 0-16.
Well, you're going to put that at the top of the list.
You asked the most frustrating. I mean, I can tell you a lot of good ones. I love covering Barry Sanders.
I'm talking about the most exciting, the most important, the most significant sporting event you've covered. Would it be 2000? You weren't there in 79, were you?
Nope, I wasn't there in 79. But no,
right.
I loved Irvin and covering Irvin's years. So that was always great. Irvin was just one of the best to cover. And I appreciate covering his years, and he was around, and he was great. He was great to cover. Would have been nice to cut. We could have had him for more than just the 2 years, but for 2 years, you talk about a guy who not only went on to run a baseball team, helped run the basketball franchise. He is just one of the best, and you have to take your hat off to him. He's done a great job over the years.
I knew you knew that Irvin would be a great player and an impactful athlete. Did you ever anticipate he'd be this kind of community leader and business, such a business success?
No, I really didn't. You know, I just knew that he was a good player, and I knew if he wanted to, he could do great things, and he certainly wanted to. But yeah, I had no idea. Like everybody else, I had no idea. But boy, you talk about someone who was really good, and he was one of the best.
Yeah, he represents. I don't care if he never gave a dime to Michigan State. He represents them well every day of his life, the way he wears that Spartan banner.
Yes, he does, and it's nice that he does that. And you know, he like you say, he wears that banner very, very well. He loves Michigan State. Has always. I wish more of our college people that we know of would help out their university. So many of them don't, as you know. I wish more of them did. I mean, it would certainly help if more of them did reach out and try to help their communities and their colleges. And a lot of them don't, unfortunately, but Irvin's one of those that do. And so I thank him and hopefully the others that will continue to follow in his footsteps, because he does a great job.
Steve Smith's been another one, not only with his dollars, but with his visibility and always, you know, waving that Spartan banner. And I think Draymond Green's going to be the next one.
Yep.
Earl, I think Draymond, when he gets in a place in society, if his career goes well, that he's not only going to be a contributor dollars-wise if he makes the big cash, but he's going to wave that banner for MSU any chance he gets. And I think that's important. I think it's important for anyone who allowed Michigan State to carve their life and carve their career. Sure, they made the most of it. Sure, they took advantage of the opportunity. Sure, it was their ability that did it. But Michigan State opened the door to all these kids, and I think it's right that they never forget where their roots are.
Exactly, and they shouldn't. Hopefully they never will, because as you know, Fred, Michigan State's helped a lot of people and a lot of kids, and hopefully they won't forget anytime soon. So congratulations to all those former Spartans and present Spartans, because we've had a lot of that's one good thing about our job. We've got a chance to see a lot of very good players.
Yeah, it's been, you know, when you're old like you and I, you've been around 30-plus years now, you do start reminiscing. I'm thankful because I'm a Pat Rack, and ask anyone I've ever worked with, I save everything, that I've actually saved a lot of my sit-down interviews, you know, with some famous people that I ran into in my career, both here in Lansing and Flint, Detroit. So I don't watch them much, but one day when I'm old and retired and can't move, I'll probably put them on DVD and watch the old conversations with Magic and with Michael Jordan. And I got one with George Brett that I did at Tiger Stadium many years ago, and a couple with Muhammad Ali. Those are all, you know, we have been fortunate to be, you know, we're not dropping names here, but when you're old like me and you, and you do this for a living, you run into some people that you never thought you'd meet, and it's kind of a kick to look back on it.
It really is, because, we've been blessed to run into so many good people, so many good sports fans, and that's the thing, sports fans, you know, they really care about their sport. I mean, we've seen a lot of people that just care about sport. They just want to see the next game, and we just follow them, and we've been very lucky and blessed to run into so many sports people over our years.
And the fans and your listeners and my viewers, I mean, the way it is in East Lansing and Lansing and mid-Michigan and in Detroit where I was, with the fervent fan base, is not like it is everywhere. I was out in Arizona for that bowl game, and people aren't talking the Cardinals. I know they're not very good, but people aren't talking. They don't live and breathe Cardinal football and Arizona State football and Coyote hockey and Phoenix Suns basketball. I mean, there's a lot of places where sports are just there. I think California is another one of them. But I think fans in the Midwest and fans in this state of Michigan, Michigan State, Lions, Tigers, Pistons, and Red Wings, and the college sports here. I think this is a unique fan base, and I know that's one of the reasons I feel blessed to do what I do, is that we do it you know, even though it's cold and we complain about the winter, but I don't know if there's a better sports state in America than Michigan. I really believe that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, because we get a chance to watch a lot of just sporting events, very good sporting events, that's for sure. And, I'm just feel very blessed to have been able to cover these sports all these years and covered a lot of them that were just very good sports, very good people. I mean, that's the thing. We met so many good people, like John Smoltz, one of the best. He'll be in town next week, of course. But John Smoltz was one of the best to cover. And you know, we've seen so many good athletes come through this way, and it's been very nice. And I feel very lucky, very blessed that I was able to meet a lot of those people.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a fun ride. I'm sorry it's going to end for you in 2 weeks, but you know, life doesn't end. You can still follow the sports just because you're not working. Yeah. In fact, it might even be fun for you.
we'll see. Maybe I can come in and set in for you sometime.
just hang out. You know, we'll show you what it's like to steal for a living in television.
Hey, that'll be a good time to do. So let's see, 17 minutes after the hour of 2 o'clock. 1 o'clock. We don't have much time left. We'll just talk a few more minutes and talk a little bit more baseball. That's what I wanted to ask you, because I never asked you before. What attracted you first to baseball? I know you've always been a baseball fan, but what first attracted you to the game?
Well, like a lot of kids, and that's why the era is different now, because dads aren't doing it. It was my dad. My dad was a baseball fanatic, and he hit me ground balls in the backyard until his fingers had blisters, and took me to every game. And my brothers played baseball, and I'd go to all those games, and I was the bat boy. And you know, I remember the early days at Tiger Stadium, and as I got older, more frequently, my dad loved to come home from work. He worked for the auto club. He worked for the AAA Auto Club for 35 years, and he used to, he had a 9-to-5 job, and he'd come home, and, we'd never plan it. I never knew it. He'd come home and say, "You want to go to the ball game?" And in 1968, he took me to 47 Tiger games in one season. Now, they only play 81.
Yeah.
In fact, I joke with Denny McClain that I went to more games that year than he did, and he was on the team.
Yep.
So my dad was always taking me to the game, and when we went to the games, it was a prerequisite. They don't even take pregame infield anymore, which is a bone of contention that I brought up with people that cover the game and with Jake Foss of Michigan State. In the major league level, my dad used to take me to the ball. If the game started at 8, in those days it started at 8, he had to get there at 6:30 to watch Al Kaline warm up and throw from right field to home plate. And watching infield was part of the experience. They don't even take infield anymore.
Yeah.
And it's just, I've just been, always been a real student and fan of the game. I love being at the ballpark. If there's a game, I usually go 2 hours early just to watch batting practice and the warm-ups. I just adore the game. I love it.
Okay, we got a caller on the line for you. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the line with us.
How you doing, buddy?
Okay.
Hey, I got a question for your guest there. He knows a lot about baseball, right?
Yep.
Hey, I'm a big Indians fan. Travis Hafner, the last 4 or 5 years, he used to hit 40, 50 home runs. He's been hurt all these years. He's a free agent. You think there's any chance the Indians might pick him up for $500,000 or $1 million, or you know of any team that's interested in him, or you think he's not good? He's going to have to retire. You think he's got a chance of getting back playing this year?
I heard everything you said except the name. Was it Travis Hafner?
Yeah, right. Hafner of the Indians.
He's lost a lot of his punch.
Right.
So the problem with him is anyone would take a gamble on him, but at the right price. He's not going to make the big money because, as you pointed out, injuries have, and that's the thing about baseball. They talk about it being a sissy game, and, the grind of baseball is worse than probably any other sport. So to stay healthy in that sport is really the trick, and Kronk just hasn't been able to stay healthy, and it robs people of part of their careers, and it remains to be seen if his career is over, if he still has something left. I'd take a gamble on him, but not at a high price tag. He'd play for my money, not his.
Right, $500,000 to $1 million. I'm thinking maybe he could get it, but you think the Indians might renegotiate with him, or do you think do you know of any other teams that are interested in even picking him up? Because spring training that starts another month.
Hey, I haven't heard that, but there's still plenty of time. He's such a popular player, as you know, in Cleveland, that I think he he might get the home. He might give them the hometown discount. I don't know, but I haven't read anything about anyone else that's looking at him. So but there's still time. Don't get freaked out that there's only a couple weeks of spring training. That could happen any time in the next 2 months. There's plenty of time.
Who you got as a favorite this year? The Tigers? That division?
In the whole thing?
Well, in the division.
Well, yeah, the Tigers got to win the division. Of course, we said that last year.
Yeah.
Right now the Tigers are the odds-on favorite in their division, and they're probably the odds-on favorite in the American League. I think that the thing with the Tigers is Victor Martinez going to come back, be healthy, and be the Victor Martinez he was. If he is, they're going to be scary good.
Where do you have the Indians, third or fourth in that division?
I'm interested to see about the Francona in practice. I haven't really broken it down that much yet, but probably no higher than third.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye. And Fred, I want to thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend. And we'll have you back on again, and we'll talk a little bit more baseball with you. I know you love it.
Good luck, and call me later. I want to do something with you on television. I can't get a hold of you. Call me later.
Okie dokie. Hey, thanks a lot, Fred. Okay, bye-bye. Hello, you're on the air with us. Help, I meant to cover the other one off, and I cut him off. So get him back on. Boy, I'm having trouble with my fingers again today. Can't get everybody right. But I got 10 thumbs today. Not 8 fingers and 2 thumbs, 10 thumbs. And every now and then I have these thumbs will come up and bite me sometime. They'll do that from time to time. Hey, so give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Okay, and we've got Tom Lemming coming up next, and we know Tom is one of the best known of baseball. I mean, of football, he knows a lot. You want to know something about high school football from anywhere in the country? Tom is the guy to know. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there, Earl. How about yourself?
Hey, doing good and hanging in there. And I was telling folks, I mean, if you want to know something about high school football, you're the man. I mean, I know you and I started out many years ago.
That's right.
Yep. And I can't believe that I'm giving it up and you're still going to be going on.
I'm
going to
miss you.
It's been fun. We've had a lot of fun over the years.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been great. And I wanted to just talk to you about some of the what do you think of? I wanted to ask you, basically, what do you think of Michigan State now and Mark D'Antonio and his crew? He seems to have a good staff. He had an off year last year, but what's going on with Michigan State?
Well, Mark D'Antonio is one of the best coaches in the country, and that's not just my opinion, but I think it's the consensus. He's got a good staff, they have their up and down. Sort of, I was at Iowa Sunday, and the same thing kind of there. They had a real off year, but over the long period, they're going to be right near the top of the Big Ten, and you can say the same about Mark in Michigan State. And I like the recruiting class right now. They've got some very good athletes coming in, running back, outstanding quarterback from Erie, Pennsylvania. I've seen a couple times this year, probably one of the biggest sleepers in the country, and some good defensive linemen. So I think they're filling up with very good athletes, and that's what you got to do. In recruiting, and I think the reason why the Big Ten has slipped over the past few years is because they've been inconsistent recruiting-wise as opposed to the Southeast Conference or the Atlantic Coast Conference. And I think right now Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, even Penn State, they're all doing very well recruiting-wise.
And that's a plus for recruiting because, when you're out there and you have to stay, that's one thing. You just have to stay on it. I mean, no matter how much you do it, it's never enough, is it?
No, I've learned and I've talked to all the best. Just in the past few years, I just had breakfast at Urban Meyer last week, and I did a show with Nick Saban in October, and Mac Brown this year, and a couple of years ago, Pete Carroll. These are the best recruiters in the country, and the good young recruiters like James Franklin at Vanderbilt and Al Golden at Miami, they all have one thing in common. It's consistency in recruiting. You never let up. You just keep going at it. You got to work really hard, and you can't have one bad year, because if you have one bad year, once that group gets to become the leaders, then you have a drop-off. And if you have two bad years, your job could be in jeopardy.
That's
and
for sure.
It's a great year. So that's why you got to just constantly. Recruiting is obviously the lifeblood of football, but it's also a light bulb for the head coaches who expect to keep their jobs, and they got to understand that you never have a let up.
Right. You can never let up. You just have to constantly go, go, go. And we've seen that from time to time, from year to year. You just have to constantly go at it. And you got to find out, who's the best players of the area. And that's what they do. They really do a good job. I've always commended recruiters because they do a good job. I mean, you may not always get the kid you want, but you can get certainly there are so many good players out there.
Well, the two aspects is, first of all, it's just evaluating. You got to evaluate the right guys. You can't go by my list or anybody else's when it comes down to going after the guys that fit into your program. You got to do it yourself, and you got to cover the country now. Everyone's become a national recruiting team, so that's hard work. The evaluating, and then the hard work of recruiting, staying on top of these ball players. With the new rules coming in July 1st that you're allowed to talk to sophomores that are going to be juniors as much as you want, so there's they're taking away all the rules, so it's going to be going to the coaches that work the hardest when it comes to staying on top of prospects and really working at them and all year. And I've said this before somewhat as a joke, but it's true. You know, you show me a coach that's a prolific golfer, and I'll show you a lousy recruiter, because recruiting has to be their main hobby nowadays. They're getting paid enough to actually do it. And I think the ones that use it as their hobby and just do it all the time are the ones that are the most successful.
Yeah, and you have to, like you say, use it as a hobby, but, just be on top of it. I mean, you just have to be on top of it all the time to get the better players and the better coaches, and that's what you got to do, and that's what so many coaches do. I mean, people may not realize how much work is done. I mean, recruiting is 24/7, isn't it? There's just no delay.
Hardly any days off anymore either. These guys got to stay on top of it, because not only are you recruiting right now, the class of 2013, but you've got to be almost through with your evaluations on 2014 if you want to make sure you have a good class. That's how things have bumped up. When I started 34 years ago, most of the evaluations were done during the senior year at a leisurely pace, and you had all the kids visit in December and January, and they announced in February. Nowadays, they're announcing a year in advance, sometimes 2 years in advance, so you got to stay on top of it, because once you do get that announcement in your favor, then you got to hang on to them all the way to signing day, and sometimes that's a bigger hassle than actually the evaluation process.
Oh, so true. I remember when we first started out over 34 years ago, and the first coach that really did all his coaching early was Joe Paterno. And I remember we criticized Joe Paterno for getting all those guys early. And now look what's gone and how his hat changed from Joe Paterno when he started that up years ago.
Yes, he did. It was around 1992. He had lost, or 93. He had lost Ron Paulus, who's the number one player in the country and from Pennsylvania. The top 10 prospects in Pennsylvania went elsewhere. So Joe, to change things up the next year, started offering the kids early, which no one had ever seen before, particularly with a major, a major school like that. And then within a year or two, everyone had to kind of follow suit, and it slowly progressed to where now everything's a year in advance. You're already offering sophomores right now and sometimes freshmen. So, and then, ironically, Paterno was one of the main reasons why they started putting all those laws into effect where the head coach couldn't go out in May, or the head coach couldn't call the kids here or there. And you couldn't, or the, you know, mainly, so they could have some kind of a life. But now things are being reversed and the rules are taken away. You could start calling anytime you want as soon as it's July 1st of their between their sophomore and junior year.
Yeah, wow. It certainly has been just a major revelation how this coach is and how recruiting has changed so much over the years. I must admit, I'm a little fascinated, a little surprised at how well it's been going and how well so many coaches are getting involved in recruiting and getting out there, get their name out there and get the kids interested in school. What do you see when you talk to people? What do you see? What do you see as the main pull that you get for a kid?
You know what? I don't know if there's one thing. Some kids will pick a school because they like the uniforms.
Yeah, that's
true. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. It should be academics. But what I've known over the years, we're dealing with 17, 18-year-olds. My nephew's going through it right now and being recruited in the Chicago area. And the kids, the parents think more academics at that age. I mean, they're 25% of the kids do, but I think 75% of them are looking for great facilities to work out in, and the quickest way to the NFL. So colleges that could tell them, we send all these guys to the NFL, and they also look for girls. Those are the three things they're looking at. The parents, that's why I think it's very important for parents to guide their ball players or to guide their sons towards academics and help with the decision, because if it's left to a 17, 18-year-old, then most of the time, I would say at least half the time, they make the wrong decision for the wrong reasons.
Yes, that is unfortunate. So hopefully, we'll see better and continue to see. A lot of kids I have been making successful choices, and that's good. That's something that we had always talked about and preached about, is kids making the right choices. I mean, they have to make the best decision for themselves. We got another call for us. We got Michael on the line. Michael, how you doing?
How you doing there, Earl? Is this your 39th year today that you've been on the radio?
Yeah, 39 years. It happened. It came up a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, Earl, you know what, man?
What?
Since you started in radio, tell them what time you started in radio about right quick.
I started in Saginaw.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the call letters before they changed it?
WWWS.
All right, then.
It's funny how you remember those kind of things.
Yeah, that was the radio station back then, man. And guess what they do now? Guess what they did then? They don't do anymore now.
Oh,
they play music.
Oh, okay.
They do not. They had a DJ, disc jockey, even late at night. Late at night, you don't hear no live disc jockey.
Yeah,
on a lot of radio stations, do you?
No, you don't. I mean, I was one of those. I came back when I first got in. I wanted to get in so badly that I did the night shift. I was on from 1 to 6 in the morning every night.
All right, then. You remember those funk records, do you?
Yeah, I remember.
And think about a lot of the records that you spin back then. They didn't last, but you probably played a lot. Those records last 10 minutes, 12 minutes. They was long, you know. Now, if you play a record past 3 minutes, then they probably cut you off. The record companies cut you off. But I wanted to talk to you about Michigan State.
Okay.
It's something about basketball, about Tom Izzo. And it seems like he's more pleased with this team. He know they got limitations and everything, but he's saying they playing like a team. What you think about that?
Well, they are, and it just takes time. People don't want to wait in time, but it just takes time. I mean, a lot of teams are good, but it just takes time for them to develop some chemistry, and that's what it takes time, getting that chemistry together. And when they do that, it really becomes a good team once you figure that out, once the players can figure that out.
It seems like this year he's enjoying coaching more than he ever, lately, because I think he got a team that the players get along with each other, he said, and he seemed like he doesn't have to extend himself emotionally more than he usually does. And that's one thing I really worried about him sometimes, because I figure he's so accommodating to the media and everything. And I figure he's extending himself a little bit too much, but it's something about his character and everything that make those players want to play hard for him. I mean, coaches is about, some coaches are good about technique and strategy and things, but also it's about effort and a willingness to grow and a willingness to improve. And he seems like he does a great job of reaching out to those kids. And I'm more impressed with him this year than, even when Draymond was there and stuff, even though Draymond, it was more like Draymond, he was doing the coaching for them last year. This year, it's like these kids, the team he got is much younger, so they're willing to even to listen to him, because that's one thing about college basketball, and I'm getting so disillusioned sometimes, is they act like the players run the program.
In some places it does happen that way, where the players are the ones in charge, because sometimes the coaches give it up to the players, and it's unfortunate, but a lot of them do. A lot of players run the programs, even though they probably shouldn't run them.
Mm-hmm. All right, then let me ask you about these two players from Saxton. That Hayes, is he a freshman or a sophomore?
I think he's a sophomore.
Okay. He's 6'9", right?
Yep.
Okay, is he like their rebounder or shot blocker?
He does both, and he's learning. He's getting his offense together, so he's learning all parts of the game. And by the time he's a senior, he's going to be big players take a little bit longer to develop than smaller players, and so he's going to be good in the long run. And he's learning the game the most, and so that should be a lot of fun with him. He's really, really good.
Okay, because I see LaDante Henson also when I was watching Michigan State and Wisconsin. He played for Providence, and I see Ed Cooley is really a good coach there. I just wonder about Providence. It's like it's not a magnet where they're going to get good ball players there to go to his university, but I think Ed Cooley's a pretty good coach. What you hear about him?
Yeah, I hear he's a pretty good coach, and he's doing well, and that's all you can ask for, that they do well, and some of them. Some people, that's the thing that sometimes it disappoints me with fans. So many fans think they know so much about the game. Really, in all honesty, they just don't know as much as they think they know. But a lot of them just think they know so much basketball when they really don't. As long as the ball goes in, the basketball player is considered good. And, everybody who shoots the ball, it doesn't go in. We know that. That's just a fact. But you just have to go and contend with those. But you've got some very, very good players out there, which is the way it is. Some of them are very good and some of them aren't. But we have some very good players in the state of Michigan. I was really surprised that we don't have a lot of players that we can call up and talk to because we've got a lot of good players and a lot of players have moved. As you know, the population shift has changed.
Right, they're scattered all over.
They're scattered all over. So we'll just have to see how that goes. But so far, the state of Michigan is hanging in there.
Oh, yeah, they are. I was thinking about Anthony Clemens the other night when he was playing for Iowa and everything. I mean, that's like you just got done saying. It is a true fact that, he's going to develop into a great player for them. He really is.
Yeah, he could.
He's a freshman. He's making mistakes, but he seemed like he got the whole package there.
Mm-hmm. He does. He does a very good job, that's for sure. Hey,
all right, Earl. I thought I'd just kick it about you reminiscing about the Saginaw days, man.
Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. Hey,
all right.
Appreciate
you. Have a good one.
You too. 39 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
On the next Fresh Air, Jimmy Kimmel talks with us about his new time slot at 11:35, the David Letterman Club he founded as a kid, and his early career in radio. So Jimmy Kimmel started in public radio.
That's right, and graduated to the public toilet.
Join us for the next Fresh Air.
And that's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Look for up to an inch of new snow and a high of 19 degrees today. Tonight, the low around zero, the wind chill as cold as minus 10, with a bit of snow. Thursday, mostly sunny, the high 18. Friday's forecast, up to an inch of new snow, the high will be in the low 20s. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday, from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And now we're going to talk with Dean Smith, that is, and talk a little football. As you know, Dean is one of the best officials in the whole state of Michigan and across the nationwide. He's been a great official for many, many years. So let's bring in our good friend, Dean Smith. Hey, Dean, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing great. I wanted to say that I'm sad to hear that you're retiring, but I know that's a wonderful opportunity for you.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, you know, we all have to put them, hang them up one day. I remember when you hung yours up. You didn't hang them up totally, but you hung yours up, and now it's my turn to hang mine up.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fun sport. I mean, you know, we've seen a lot of changes in football. I mean, guys really hit hard, and they just put some good licks on people in football. And we've seen that over the years. I wish we could say more of it, but they changed the game so much. How much do you think, you know, that they changed the game of football? And do you think it's irrelevant, or should they do even more change? I know we've got to watch out for the head trauma and the head hitting in the head. But other than that, how much do you think football has changed?
Well, you know, Earl, I'm not much of a football coaching guy, but I'll tell you what, I've just seen a lot of, you know, situations out there in the football field where, you know, people are having, lifelong injuries, and when you start thinking about your kids and you know, them growing into a sport like that, I think more and more, you know, we're heading towards maybe even putting flags on these high school kids and you know, the possibility at some point in college, you know, there might be a change in how they tackle. And, you know, I think that's a good thing because it's a game, you know, and when people start, dying from, you know, injuries that occurred from games, I mean, we got to take a serious look at it.
Yes, that's true, because it's been a long while. I mean, we've seen a lot of really hellacious hits, and there have been so many of them over the years. And I mean, I commend the people who out there. I mean, I'm one of those. Sometimes I'm conflicted because I still love the game of football. It's my favorite game. But boy, sometimes I still reminisce and reflect on some of those big hits that I've seen in the past.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is a wonderful game, and, you know, it's a lot of life lessons can be learned out there on the football field, and, you know, it's, you know, when guys can come together and work that hard and do great things, it's just, it's great to see.
It is. Hopefully it will continue for a long time. I mean, we know that many players out there, they will look at themselves and how they approach the game and how their players approach the game, and which is good. And, you know, we see it all the time. But, you know, we say it's good, but it is. I mean, it's a good game, and it's a very good game to many, many, many people. And that's very, very well that we've been able to follow it at such a close level for many, many years. We've seen so many good football games, and I'm amazed at how much football we've seen over the years.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's one of those situations, too, where a lot of these kids, you know, academically, when they have football to look forward to, they, or any sport for that matter, you know, they excel. And it gives them a bridge to get to that place in life where they want to go, to give them the opportunity to, you know, be successful later on. And there's, I mean, sports are really hard, you know, whether it's high school, college, pro. And, you know, if you can commit to doing the right things that it takes to be successful at any level, that's going to carry over into the workplace. And you see so many players go on to be extremely successful in corporate America and the job place. And, you know, that's one of the most important things about it.
It is. So many football players reach out and do well in football and other sports. We have a lot of fans that just hang in there, and they do whatever they have to do to make it work in the sport. And it's very, very good. I remember when I was younger, I just didn't think, I don't know, you might have thought that same thing when you were young for a little while, but I just never thought that football players were all that smart and would do as many things, and just finding out that, boy, we've seen so many good athletes that have done a lot of very good things, that's for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, it's, the probably the most important thing is you see a lot of these guys at college and pro level that these young people are watching, you know, in elementary school, middle school, and so important that they have these positive role models. And I know sometimes guys get bad raps, but for the most part, we have a lot of great role models out there. And I just think that's important. Having a young son myself, I just think that that's, you know, imperative to the process that these guys continue to understand that you know, whether they want it or not, they're going to be significant role models in young people's lives.
For sure, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call, talk sports with us, 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. And you know, Dean, we've seen a lot of good football games. We've seen some poor games, of course, like in anything. That's the one thing about sports that I would take over any reality show or anything like that. When we watch a football game, we're seeing a real live game up close and personal. You know, they may change a few things in the playbook, as they often do. But we've seen some very, very good football over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the quality of football continues to grow with the spread offenses, and the athletes are just at a very high level now. And now you have the quarterbacks that run the spread offenses that are starting to incorporate that into the NFL now. And with this Colin Kaepernick for the 49ers, you know, obviously Russell Wilson and some of these guys, Cam Newton, they're just incredible athletes. And, you know, it used to be that they didn't want to run those kind of offenses. Quarterbacks would get hurt, but they protect the quarterback, number one. Mm-hmm. And then number two, they're so fast they don't get touched. Well, that's a pretty good deal for the quarterback. And then, you know, if he's going to get hit, he just flies, you know. So it's really, if the quarterback's smart enough, it's a really good offense at any level.
It is. That's true, and hopefully they'll get more used to it and everything as we've become to follow it. And that's the thing. So many quarterbacks are out there. They're getting hit. They're mastering the game, and that's what's really good. The quarterbacks used to, you know. That's funny how I know you remember the days when you know you draft a quarterback in the first, second, or even third round, and you know you think they're going to be on the team for a long time. They're going to master the game and just get to it. And now we find out that, hey, a lot of these guys don't master the game. I mean, they have a lot to learn. Football is a very complex game, and there's a lot to learn for it. And it's good for them to learn how, but boy, they have a lot to learn, don't they, Don?
Yeah, and nobody works harder than a football coach. And I think a good example is that the guy over there at East Lansing, Bill Ferracco. I mean, he's just a wonderful, wonderful teacher and coach over here, and year in and year out, you know, he's 11 and a half months out of the year, he's working football, you know, and that's what it takes. I mean, in order to be competitive, these guys have to commit themselves, you know, year round to the process. And as you know, in our area, it's just competitive across the board. So it's really is a feather in the cap of coaches in this area and you know, across our country, that put in that kind of time with young men and give them that avenue, you know, towards the possibility of success later on in life.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones, and we got a caller on line one. How you doing?
Good. This is more national than local football. Does Michael Orr still work for the Ravens?
Michael who?
Orr. The blind side?
I'm not sure if he does or not. Do you know?
He didn't.
Okay. He said he didn't.
I figured you would.
No, I didn't know, unfortunately.
Huh.
Yeah, one of those things, but that happens.
Well.
Yeah, guys who change jobs and they want something better for themselves and for their lives, and that's what happens. A lot of them will get a different job just to change the market and change how they look at things. So
you don't know if Michael Orr is still plays
no,
for them.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, okay. When you do, would you tell me?
Okay, we'll do that. Maybe one of our guests tomorrow will be able to tell you.
Who is your guest tomorrow going to be?
That's a good question. I'll get to a few of them. I'll call them in the morning and see what they say.
Okay. Hey, Earl, you still got that throat thing from when you had the hiccups.
Yeah, I know. It's a little raspy right now. And so,
yeah.
Yeah,
take a raspberry throat lozenge.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Yes, I want to thank all. I want to thank all the people who have called in and suggested. I mean, I haven't got as many suggestions as I got the last time, because the last time, I mean, I got a ton of suggestions. And I still get a lot of good suggestions from fans. So I want to thank everybody for the fans who called in and gave me things to get rid of the hiccups. And it was a long time, but boy, we got a lot of fans and a lot of suggestions from them, so we want to thank all of them for calling in and giving us a little bit of a helping hand there. So we want to thank them all personally, which is really good. So we talked a lot about all these different sports fans and sports bars, and Jack Everly and I were talking last week how the sports bar has gotten so big, and they've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and you can learn a lot from going to a sports bar and seeing what they have going on, and that happens. That really happens. You get so many sports bars out there, and so many of them will just land on what they do and attend on what they do, and they're very good at it, and that's for sure. They've done a very good job of marketing their sportswear, and that's the thing. We have to be a lot more aware of what they do. So as long as we do that and just keep an eye on things, we'll be fine. We all love sports, and so we want you to love sports just as much as all of us do. And if you love sports as well, and we love sports as well, I don't think there'll be a problem. We all love sports, that's for sure. And some people don't like it. We know some people really don't like sports, but we try to help out as many people as we can to help sports out, and hopefully they'll learn something, and they'll learn more about sports, and that's what they'll do. So we want to thank everyone for helping out as we do, and as we do for sports, that's for sure. So I want to thank you again for giving us a call, giving us a hand, in liking sports. Hey, Aaron, how much do you like sports? I know you're a big sports fan. You're a big hockey guy too. How much do you like sports? I mean, I know you love it, and it's probably as much as I love it. So how much do you love sports?
Well, that's a loaded question.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right.
Probably take the rest of these last 5 minutes to answer that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we can just cut off NPR and we'll just keep going.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible idea. I don't want to talk to the boss. So. Sports is a, it's sort of, when I was younger, I think part of me, liked playing certain sports. It was, go out in the backyard, play whatever, basketball, baseball, throw a football around, whatever the case it was. I don't think as a kid, you never really sort of understand the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you take just football, for example, obviously you're going to be teaching kids how to play football, but you're only teaching them how to do something specifically. You're not really teaching them to understand the sport, I think, so much.
Yeah.
I don't think until maybe you mature and get a little bit older that you actually understand the sport and why things are a certain way and sort of the business behind it as well. So as I got older, I was able to sort of learn sort of the, you know, kind of the why certain things are certain ways. You know, in football, maybe the case of like, why is a play called that? Why did they call that play? In hockey, why did they, you know, put this line together with paired with this line? You know, whatever the case may be in whatever sport. So it's weird because now as I continue to get older, definitely not the age that you're at yet, but I had to throw that in there. But, you know, as you get older, I guess you have a better understanding of each sport. And I think I tend to either appreciate it more or appreciate it less. For example, NBA basketball. I cared for it more when I was younger than I do now because I understand it better now. And just, you know, I understand, you know, why certain calls go certain ways to certain players, which is terrible, you know. But I like college football and college basketball a lot better, a lot more now than I used to because I understand it more and I can, you know, get more excited about certain teams. Yeah, sure, does it help that I go to Michigan State? Absolutely. But, you know, so that there's a component to that. So I think, you know, as you get older, you tend to like certain sports more and you're going to like less more sports less as compared to when you're younger. You're just trying to have fun in the sense of, you know, you're actually able to play some of those sports when you're younger, whether it's in your backyard or actually on a team environment. So, you know, I like sports to a certain extent, certain sports for certain reasons. But I think as you get older, you tend to appreciate certain sports more than when you are as you are younger, which is kind of cool. It's something I think, you know, some people may not realize, but I think if you set yourself down and thought about it that way, like how did I view sports when I was younger compared to how do I view them now? Yeah. What sort of changed that, you know, sort of my sort of aspect towards sports? I don't know if that's how you felt, or maybe, you know, I don't know what, you know, for you, I don't know how it was for you, but that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah, I feel a lot of that because I fell in love first with baseball. Baseball was my first love. I fell in love with baseball, and then I went towards football and basketball. But I loved baseball at first, and then I picked up on those other sports, and then you know, I picked up on all of them, and which I thought was great. You know, I called them all. I never, when I was little, of course, I never dreamt that I would have a whole career in sports. Even though I sort of liked that, but I, you know, you think about, boy, you'd like to do that, but you just never know what's going to happen in your life. We all think that, you know, maybe. You know, of course, we all think we're good enough to play baseball when we're young. I thought I was good enough to play when we were young, even though I know I wasn't, but I thought I was good enough to play when I was young.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you go out with your dad or your friends or whoever, even my, you know, my mother was a softball player, so, you know, she even helped me out with some of the baseball stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, because, I mean, part of that, too, is, you know, if you're with parents or friends or, you know, whatever the case is, most likely they're encouraging you or telling you you're doing a good job or, hey, work on this or, you know, keep up the good work. So, yeah, I think as a youngster, you have to, you know, a lot of people will give you that confidence saying that you are good and you can do it, which is good as a young person. But then as you get older, then they can be a little bit more honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, so, but as a young kid, you know, that's something you want to hear because otherwise you might give it up if someone's telling you that you can't do it or you're not good. So, yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. Well, hey, we want to thank you all for listening and thank you all for calling. We invite you to come back and join us for the Friday edition of Sports Talk 870. So give us a call actually for the Thursday edition of Sports Talk 870 right here on WKAR. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Want you to have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening and come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR.
from NPR.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.